Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 87 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. My name is Nish, and I'm joined by a new guy. We've been chatting via DM secretly, and then he tells me I may be a bit younger than your usual audience member. And I've been watching The Keepers, and I've been thinking this is not probably going to go very well. And then he said, well, let's do a podcast. I went, all right, fine, we'll do it. And then he said, hey, let's turn on webcam, and I got even more scared and a bit weirded out. Luckily, if you're watching, I am recording webcam, and he is how old?
I am 19.
19, thank 19. Christ. Okay.
Close.
You can
close.
Call off the cops. 19 is fine. I'm allowed to talk to you via webcam.
Legal.
Happy days. I'm 34, so it's I'm doing okay at this point. But anyway, thanks a lot for joining. How about you introduce yourself quickly, mate?
Right, so I'm Sean. I was born in Scotland. The main connection to Liverpool was my father. He did support Hearts, which is the home kind of town team, but he regularly went to Anfield with his dad because his dad was a mad Liverpool supporter, and it's kind of like the family thing goes down, you know, you see yourself and there you are and here you are. Now I am. I'm a Liverpool fan, so
nice.
That's me.
What's the shirt exactly? I see the Cup Winners' Cup on there. 85, 86. That is beautiful. So if anyone's watching the I'll post this up onto YouTube at the end. But yeah, 85-86, white top. That is glorious. So
amazing. I only need it. Don't need anything else.
And the only Hearts connection with Liverpool I can think of in recent memory was an academy 6'7" striker called Michael Ngoo. Went to Hearts,
and we did play them in the Europa League not so long ago.
God,
under Brendan Rodgers.
That is true. I was really hoping Ngoo would be awesome because he was just like this gigantic African English awesome Peter Crouch style player who has now disappeared into obscurity. I think.
Yep, I don't know where he's gone, but yeah, he's not Hearts. I know that.
I will tell you one little piece of secrecy as well. That one of the directors of LFC TV is a massive Hearts fan. That's another part of
brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. There you go.
Amazing guy.
Little connection.
Small connections here. Yeah. So you lived in Australia your whole life?
Since I was about 8.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So. You came here about 4 years before I was 12 when I moved here. But yeah, 8. Cool. Beautiful.
That's
good
it.
To see. And you're in which part of Australia? Sydney, was it?
We're in Brisbane.
Vegas.
Yes. Vegas,
shit.
Yeah, that one.
It all happens, and I'm assuming then you went to the Brisbane game?
Yeah, went to the Brisbane game, and went to the Sydney game as well.
Nice.
So, got to see McManaman, you know, knocking about, old man.
That Brisbane game, I have to say, is probably the coldest I've ever felt any part of Australia.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was quite cold.
Did you do the walk? Did you join everyone for the walk up to the stadium?
No, I think I was underage and I was with the family. So, yeah.
Okay, please stop talking about your age.
Yeah, we'll keep it on
cool, man.
DLA. Awesome. All good.
No, that was a good game. And we saw, Ryan Kent actually playing that game, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And also Joe Gomez burst onto the scene in that game.
That's right.
Two memories I have because that everyone was like, who's this Joe Gomez guy and why is he playing left back? And, we got him from Charlton, so it was the first time we got to see him. Properly.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, we all thought we had our left back for life at that point.
We did.
God damn.
And the curse of injury came down upon us.
I know. I've got some great photographs in that game, notably Sarko, Lambert, because I think Lambert just joined us as well. I wanted to see him play. Hendo going up to the LFC New South Wales crew at the end and signing the big Hendo poster they made.
Oh, brilliant.
That was awesome. I got a few photos of that. That was really cool of them. Yeah. Cool of him to do for the local fans as well.
Yeah, so. For sure. No, I got a few photos out, like hunting them down out the Hilton. Got Hendo. Everyone was at the kit reveal, and I was like, let's go to the bloody Hilton, wait for him to get back. And it's just me, him, Luis Garcia, and Henderson. I'm just taking snaps, having a chat. It's great.
That's cool. And was going to say as well, the South African cricket rugby team was in the Hilton at the exact same time.
That's right. Yes, I do remember that. Yes, because everyone would get excited, and then it was the rugby team. Everyone was like,
"Oh no, that's not Sarko."
That's not Sarko.
Oh, that's a gigantic South African.
That's right.
Those guys are huge. But yeah, what a great tour that was. Even though it didn't quite live up to the Melbourne hype. But again, to have him back 2 years later, man, it's special down this part of the world.
Exactly.
That's cool. So do you mind, I think you started touching on it, but as I ask everybody, do you mind touching again on when you started following Liverpool and why the hell you've kept up following Liverpool from Bruce Vegas of all places?
I think the whole Liverpool thing was, I vaguely remember, and it's like everyone, I was probably, how old would I have been? I don't want to get into age, do I? I was young.
It's all right. Go for it. I want to hear authenticity.
Yes, I was young. And what was it? I think we had the Champions League 2005 Istanbul on One TV. And I think, I can't remember if it was live at the same time. It wouldn't have been, but there was Manchester United and Chelsea in the FA Cup on another TV. And obviously, I gravitated towards the one with the Istanbul. Got really excited.
Nice.
Attached since then, and obviously Liverpool's just been my team, and especially with like Harry Kewell and that kind of relation with Australia is just brilliant, and my dad, so
a lot of points there. That's cool. Well, I did, because a lot of the people, if anyone who follows this pod quite a lot, most of the people who come on the pod are around 25 plus years old, so they got a bit more history. It would be interesting just to hear from your point what it's like as a younger fan, especially when the majority of the last 25 years have been dominated by Man United and other clubs, especially internationally, and being in Australia. So what's it like as a younger fan supporting Liverpool from the other side of the world? Is it hard?
Well, you've got a lot of glory hunting friends, you could say.
Can imagine.
A lot of Chelsea, Manchester United supporters. You kind of get the odd Arsenal supporter. But yeah, usually the Liverpool kind of support is usually, family, relative sort of thing, because, the recent success hasn't been there. So that's usually where you get your supporters from, especially at my age. It's nothing that we didn't really grow up seeing them win everything. Maybe Istanbul for the exception, but yeah.
I'm not going to judge you based on your answer, because you are from Australia, you are younger as well. Have you ever thought about switching sides? And if you have, why didn't you?
Nah, no way. Nah, I wasn't switching sides. My dad always said, like, if you start supporting a team, that's your team. You can't you can't bury it. You can't bullshit your way out of it. you pick that team and that's yours.
That is
and
cool.
It's it's been all right with Liverpool. Hearts maybe not so much, but
I totally get it. For anyone who's listening wondering about my background and why I speak with an Australian accent, my dad moved to Liverpool in 73. My brother, eldest brother, was born in 77 in Liverpool. Next brother was born in 79 in Liverpool. And I was born in Cambridge in 82. So I never had a choice, even though I'm officially a Wool, born in Cambridge and lived in a little village called Whitchurch, which was a piece of crap until I left in 95. But that's my history, right? That's my entire family. It. And we watched Match of the Day. I had the music playing in my head every single day when we watched it. Followed every game as we went through the season while growing up. But for you, you're in Australia. You're born here. Your dad's from Scotland. Yeah. You're born in Scotland, sorry. But you stuck by the club, and that's the most important bit.
Yeah. And it's also like access. I mean, back when maybe when you were like living here as a young kid, the access to football wasn't as great as maybe perhaps it is today. I mean, Optus have kind of fucked it a bit, but like, you still got that access on the internet. You still got Foxtel that showed the odd occasional, game and here and there. But, it's easier to kind of like keep up with the football as a younger fan because of all technology and, you know, TV rights and that sort of thing.
That's cool. Yeah. Being a younger fan, especially from 2005, and we've had, you know, finals like FA Cup and in 2007 and, you know, again to the final, and I mean 2006, and then again to the final again in Champions League. Outside of the major finals, and let's just wipe out Dortmund as well, because that was an amazing game.
Yes.
I'm trying to stay away from generic answers here. What's your favorite Liverpool memory? And it doesn't even have to include a big win or something. Just something to do with Liverpool that you really, that makes you feel that love and connection.
That's a hard one. There's too many.
Well, pick one, first one that comes to your mind then.
I mean, the first time I kind of saw like Liverpool as like consciously and like kind of getting in with the tactics of football, the players, was that goal against Manchester City. I think it was to level it 3-3 or go 3-2 up.
The Coutinho goal you're talking about?
Yeah, against City. Yeah,
Company screwing up, coming
off his leg, and it just went straight in. And I was like, that was maybe the first time I've just gone absolutely mental. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I've taken my shirt off. I've legged outside. I was like, fuck this, I'm too happy.
That was a great memory. I know my exact moment. I was in Cheers Bar in Sydney, and it just became a gigantic shower of beer.
It's crazy. I was at home with like my dad and stuff, my brothers, and like we were just mental. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Never been so happy.
Because that was about 3 a.m. our time when that happened, right, as well.
I think it was
a 1 a.m. kickoff. So.
Yes.
Christ, that moment.
The things we do.
I know. If anyone's watching a webcam, you probably see giant bags under my eyes. They've developed over many years of supporting the club in this part of the world. Easy at all. That's cool. Have you managed to get over to Anfield? Because I know it's tough.
I have. I think recently the game, the one that Klopp got slaughtered for, the one against West Brom. So I was in the Anfield Road end.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
Is that the 2-2 game you're talking about?
That was a 2-2 game, yeah. So I was at that game. That was like, I think, a year ago and a bit. And the one before that, I think it was a 1-1 draw against Stoke City, maybe 2007 season when we had Torres and Gerrard and that sort of thing.
To see them play, that would have been amazing at least.
So I think that's my, that's my memories of Anfield.
Right.
But yeah.
You're the draw king. You're pretty much the fan version of Mourinho.
Yeah. I haven't seen Liverpool win in like five. Except for maybe Sydney against Sydney FC, but
that's mental. Can you try and describe that feeling? I think it's probably a bit more mature when you go in as an adult. Sorry if I keep hitting my microphone. Which one gave you the most emotional part?
In terms of what, the Stoke City one and the West Brom game?
Well, just seeing Liverpool. You travel to see Liverpool. Which one had the biggest emotions on you?
I think it would be the first one, Stoke City. Like, so the reason I was over there was it was like a Make-A-Wish thing. So the Make-A-Wish is like a foundation that for children that have like been like unlucky. So I've had a kidney transplant. I was given the option at 9 years old to go to, I know, like meet Batman or some shit, or like Dreambox or shit like that.
And you chose Liverpool.
I was like, no, I want to wait till 11 years old and I want to go see Liverpool. That was like a 3-year wait, and we got to Anfield, got to watch them, and that was like a big like, wow, like I'm actually here, like this is surreal. And like went with all my my granddads and my father and like all my brothers, and it was just it was a great day.
Serious. So you were 8 years old when you made a wish to see Liverpool play.
Yeah, no, I was eight. So I was like, I'm going to go see Liverpool. And they were like, well, you're too young. Do you want to go see Batman? I was like, well, not really. I'd rather go see Gerrard if the, comparison. So, yeah.
Wow.
Went 3 years, 11 years old. And I was in, there for 2 weeks.
That's
and
insane.
We got to go to Kirby and we got to go into Melwood. Had a little tour around places. And we went to London and stuff, go do the stuff down there, go see some stadiums. But it was great. Yeah, nice. Liverpool were like really accommodating as well.
Shit. Well, you look like Nicholas Bentner in his prime now at this point in time. So, do you mind me asking, are you fit and healthy now just out of concern?
Yes, I am.
That is awesome.
All is good.
I'm so happy for you, man. That's really, really cool. You can see there's a lot of stuff going on with the kids in England and Bradley. And, you know, Bradley's sadly in his last few weeks and, you know, stuff like that really hits home. But to see you came through is awesome.
And it's a testament to football. Like, football is just so big and so, like, you know, grasping. You know, it really, like, it doesn't heal, but it makes things a lot better, regardless of whatever's happened in anyone's life.
Yeah.
And Bradley's a perfect example.
That's crazy.
It's good to see.
Are you, by the time you went there, were you healed or were you still going through transition of having a new kidney?
I was all good. It would have been after transplant when I was 8, and they were like, well, you're all done and over. Like, what do you want to do after you? Kind of ordeal, and I was like, well, don't want to go see old mate, I'll go to Liverpool.
You're on dialysis or any of that kind of stuff? Sorry if I get all technical.
That's fine. Like, it's good that, like, we talk about this, because it's also a thing, you know, I want to put out, like, you know, transplants, and that's a thing that I try to promote myself. But
that's awesome.
I'm fine. I've had my kidney since I was like 6 years old, so I'm still running well. Yeah.
Mate, congratulations. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Another red powering on. So,
yes.
Do you have anyone you want to thank for that, just while we're on this particular topic?
Sadly, he's not with us, but the kidney was given to me by my granddad. And, you know, he was a driving force in Liverpool and Hearts and football in general, like, keeping me with it. So, you know, he's the big man's upstairs, you know, looking down with me, and that's, you know, thank him for it, because he is literally a gift of life, and that's, you know, greatest thing, eh?
Shit, man.
I don't want to make it depressing.
This made me so bloody emotional. Like, I thought I started this podcast, and probably everyone listening probably thought, oh, this is going to be weird, you know? I've never talked to you, but this is, I mean, I do a lot of, I think in my very last pod, I talked about how I do charity for Bear Cottage, which is a children's hospice in Manly, where kids are in terminally ill and they're going to pass away. So I'd spend a lot of time trying to help kids when they're sick, and I used to run a charity playing music to sick kids. So, man, to hear your story, dude, I'm I'm holding it together for the podcast.
I don't think it's a sad show.
Oh, man. No, I'm just happy you got through it, dude, because that's really, really cool. So, big thumbs up. Okay, back onto football. Oh, man. Don't get me onto animals. My cat's also bloody an abused animal. So, God, I'm just a sap. Anyway. all right. Back onto the pod. Liverpool. Okay. Liverpool. Let's talk something that everyone's talking about right now, just so I can get back on track myself. Mohamed Salah's just been signed. There's a lot of talk about Naby Keita. There's a lot of talk about Virgil van Dijk. What do you think the situation is going to be? Do you think conversations are still happening in the background? Do you think it's all still going ahead? What's going on?
It's difficult to say. I mean, you've got so many of, like, different ITKs saying so much different shit. And, I mean, Salah's done, which is great, but that took far too fucking long, to be honest.
Yeah.
But when it came through, everyone was like absolutely buzzing. But I mean, Virgil van Dijk and Keita, you've got, you know, reports in Germany for Keita that, you know, it's 80 million euros, pounds, whatever they want to put a spin on. Yeah. You know, Liverpool can recoup that money from, you know, Sacco, from Stewart, from Moreno, you know, that sort of thing. Van Dijk is a difficult one. I mean, you're getting loads of people saying, like, it's just not going to happen after the whole public bullshit thing that happened. Like, shit. But I think it's hard. Like, we don't know anymore. Like, you have people say things, but it's like, it's either too much money or we've just clusterfucked it. And it's difficult to say. But I think there's definitely talks. Otherwise, you wouldn't be having, like, all this news and all this, like, information.
Well, out of all these players, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact on the squad and why?
If Van Dijk comes in, I think, like, I think he's going to be the most predominantly, like, beneficial addition to the squad. defense is obviously, you know, we've been struggling with that since days of Hippia. And like, that's like I'm young and I even like kind of remember those kind of days, yeah, Gallagher and stuff like that. And but it's a big gamble if you're planning on spending 70 million quid on, you know, someone who's done well at Celtic and he's made a stand at, you know, Southampton. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what eventuates. He's a good defender. You know, everyone watches YouTube, but until he gets there, until he's under the spotlights Anfield, you don't know.
There's so many players, especially players from Southampton, who have come here, may not have initially lived up to their expectations, but they do over time. And we're in one of those situations where we need this next year to be super, as in challenge for a title super.
Yeah, well, this is it. That's it. Like, this is one of those seasons. We've got the manager we've been always wanting. I mean, Brendan Rodgers to an extent did well, but it just didn't plan out. But we've got a proven manager. We've got Salah. We've got good additions that have now flourished from Southampton. You've got Lallana. You've got Coutinho, who's, you know, came in, now he's coming world class.
Yeah.
Sadio Mane, a shrewd signing. You know, everything's coming together very nicely. It's just, this seems to be the transfer season where, you know, it can make or break, you know, a title challenge.
Yeah.
Like a real title challenge.
With our current squad, including Mo Salah, since he's come in.
Yes.
Let's assume that we get through the qualifiers for the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked this question last season on the podcast, so I'll tell you my answer. But where do you think, realistically, with just Mo Salah, do you think we will end up in the Champions League?
With just Mo Salah?
Yeah.
I think Liverpool, particularly the style of play, we do very well against big teams. Mm-hmm. You know, Dortmund, perfect example. Anfield Knights, especially. You can never count Liverpool out, regardless of squad, in Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean, that squad we won, you know, the Champions League 2005, wasn't, no one betted on that to win.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't as if like Smicer and stuff were like world class superstars. Everyone thought they were amazing. It was just
Vladimir.
A good, like, it's Vladimir, yeah, exactly. But you know, the Liverpool and European Knights, they're like this. And you know, I think regardless of squad, regardless of manager, maybe perhaps except Rodgers, we can go far with, you know, all the progress we've made in the last like 2 years.
Yeah. So how far is it?
I would say definitely out of group stage. I think we get out of group stage.
Yep.
I think we do make it past round 16.
Yeah.
Quarterfinals is when you start drawing the likes of PSG and like Munich and, you know, the you know, Sevilla and, you know, all these very good other, you know, teams that it's a bit of a, you know, you're versing the top one, top two, top three teams of other countries.
Yeah.
And we haven't been exposed to that in a long time, except for like pre-season matches, which you can't really put anything on that.
Yeah. So you're saying quarterfinals is the minimum?
I'd say it's a maximum for now.
Okay.
Semi-final is like a godsend.
Yeah.
And if we get semi-final, then, you know, anything can happen.
Nice. Sorry for probing you, but that's what I do. I'm the host. Yes. So I'll probe you for an answer and I'll get an answer out of you.
That's good.
But you said the exact same thing I did. I'm more along the lines of, I think as a minimum we'll hit quarterfinals.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't think the quality defensively and depth-wise right now isn't there for both a league and a Champions League challenge.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that quarterfinals is the minimum and the maximum
at the same time. Yeah. It's actually just like right there. Anything extra is just pure luck.
It's completely, we've just bullshit our way through to the final. So it's all good. I'm going to segue slightly and I'm going to ask you this question because I did put this out and it got strangely popular on Twitter. I've had a couple of bangers when it comes to tweets lately. The first one was a video of Ryan Kent, who I admire greatly and I hope he does good things in preseason. But that just like that had about over 1,000 likes and about 500 retweets. So keep retweeting it, people, if you're out there listening.
Yes.
Keep going. I'm getting popular.
Yes.
So good for that. But there was another, our old mate El Hadj Diouf has come out, because when you get as insignificant as El Hadj Diouf has been his entire career, the only thing he has is controversial quotes. So
yes, exactly.
He came out and to the BBC said, "I am Mr. El Hadj Diouf, Mr. Senegal, but he is Mr. Liverpool, and Senegal is bigger than Liverpool." So he's talking about someone, probably Gerrard again.
Probably, yeah.
So, anyway, I went out and I asked everyone, "Okay, everyone, complete this sentence. I'll read out the best ones in the next pod," which just happens to be right now.
Yeah.
I said, "Please don't hold back," in brackets, which was a very bad mistake for my sponsors. Yes. I'm sorry, Pharmacy Mart. This I know old mate Shawnee has already let a few swear words rip.
Yes.
But that's part of the pod. I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. So the sentence that I asked people to complete was, "I am Mr. El Hadj Diouf, dot, dot, dot." Let's start reading, shall we?
Let's go.
"I am Mr. El Hadj Diouf, and I look like I'm about to shit a hedgehog when I smile." Thanks, Ryan. Yeah. Chuckles OD.
I can see that.
Oh, dear. "My name is El Hadj Diouf, and this is Stevie calling me a fanny after I asked him for a shirt after a game."
Go on, then.
Okay, yeah. It just keeps going. "I'm Mr. El Hadj Diouf. I failed at football and now knock on people's doors selling Betterware and Avon products."
Who are these people?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I should give him a shout out. Ryan chuckles. "That was Chris," which is Scouse B1. Richard Northants, who's part of the couch, who's on here. "I'm Mr. El Hadj Diouf." No, Diouf. Diouf. "What do you mean, who? I played professional football." "Yes, like Gerard did. And Kara, yes."
he's so insignificant.
Yeah, no, does. Completely. And then he keeps on going. "No, Diouf. Yes, the footballer. Oh, you Googled me. And what did he mean? I still have no idea who I am." Oh, yep. Anyway, that's Rich. Thanks, Rich. I like that. I'm going to keep going. Okay, Mino ain't got no money says, as you know, "I'm the worst striker LFC ever had. Now I try and get attention with stupid shit because I never had any footballing ability."
Yeah. Woo! Yes. Look, they're probably right.
Yeah,
probably right.
I think your camera's frozen, by the way, for some reason. Well, you've got this big cheesy grin on. So.
I look pretty, don't I? What's going on?
Oh, you can see that your own webcam is dying.
Yeah, I can see it.
That's great. It was like...
Oh.
Love it. We'll wait for you. Why don't you click off your webcam, click back on, and I'll just keep reading. Sounds good. Oh, Jesus. Okay, this is getting rough. I don't think I can read most of this out. There you are. You're back again. "I'm Mr. El Hadj Diouf, and I wish I was named Gerard. That is LFC forever." Thank you. Wow. Okay. Brian Redmond, LFC, which is at Brian Redmond. "My name is Mr. El Hadj Diouf, and if you transplanted my brain into a budgie, it would fly backwards and fire shit from its beak." What?
All right. Look, I'll pay credit to that.
Okay. Right. That's creative. I like
sure.
it.
I don't even know what's going on.
Oh, okay. DS Dylan, who is at Diliano. "I'm Mr. El Hadj Diouf, Mr. Senegal, and I could never carry a team on my shoulder and have won nothing, unlike Mr. Liverpool Stevie G." Very patriotic. I like that. Yeah, cool. Slightly less abusive than what you normally get.
Indeed.
Oh, God. This guy went crazy. Gary PJ Byrne, who is at Gary Byrne 999. "I am El..." Stop right there. In inverted commas, "I don't give a F who you are. You're a disgrace to the Liverpool name and the shirt you wore. Shut the F up." So,
all right. I think that pretty much summarizes everyone's
no.
opinion.
"I look like I could eat an apple through a tennis racket."
Look, I'm trying to imagine it. I'm just... okay, sure,
Jesus. Okay, this goes on for a bit, at least. I'm going to show it to the webcam. I just got so many replies. Like, I can't stop. We could be all night, and I don't want to really destroy my entire view. And, sorry, it gets to the bottom. Then it goes, "Show additional replies, including those that may contain abusive language."
Oh, I reckon we read those.
I haven't even opened those up yet. Here we go.
Oh, dear.
Nope, nope, definitely not reading those. Nope. We'll put those to the side. Yeah, instead I accidentally clicked on... I don't even know what kind of creature that is.
Yeah, sure. I think that's a camel, maybe?
Camel of some sort. Anyway, all good. Okay, back on track. I just had to read that out because I did promise everyone that I would read them out.
Quite funny.
Woo! Interesting thing. I don't know if you watch any of the Academy. I do because it's on at a good time in Australia.
Yes.
We let go of Magic Gomez. And I was speaking to... Well, I was basically jumping in and hoping Paul Machen would notice me. So, Paul Machen from the Redmen TV.
Yes.
He was talking about Ryan Kenny, he had seen much of it, blah, blah, blah. And then I mentioned that Magic Gomez, we'd just let him go from the Academy. And I really liked Magic Gomez. He was one of the guys I looked at the most.
Yes.
At literally that moment, Leeds United had just announced that they had signed Magic Gomez. And so I had like five or six Leeds guys going, what do you know about him? Who is he? Who's this guy? No one knows him. I may be the only person in the world, let alone Australia, who knows who Magic Gomez
is.
Exactly. So any Leeds United fans, if you have any reason to be listening to this, which you have zero, so I understand if I'm talking to nobody. Magic Gomez is a pretty decent left-footed attacking midfielder, pretty solid, tall. He's Portuguese, very athletic. Got a great final pass, which is usually everyone's biggest problem, but I found his deficiencies and maybe strength and sometimes decision making, because he was very close to Ovie Ejaria, but Ovie had enough of a general game which got him through, while Maja was very much final third in the box style supremacy rather than everything else in the game, which is probably why he got let go. So Leeds, if you're looking for him, he's probably a guy that if he gets a chance and grows with you, he's probably going to get you a lot of assists. Not as many goals. He hasn't got the biggest shot on him, but a lot of assists. So,
a lot of assists.
Yeah, give him a run, whoever manages. Didn't the ex-Swansea guy, Monk, didn't he? I don't know if you know, watch the championship, but Monk, resigned.
I think he took the Leeds job. Did he take or did he resign for Leeds
job? He resigned, yeah. He didn't. That's a shame.
I think he's been picked up again. I can't remember who it was.
He's going to be an awesome manager soon, I'd say.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, yeah.
Yep.
Well,
left back, the unending debate for Liverpool. Who is your favourite left back for us to pick up?
Look, there's Ghoulam. But I don't, like, come on. Like, I mean, he's not, like, your special, like, who we might be looking for. It's not anything, like, incredible.
Can I ask you, honestly, have you ever heard of this Ghoulam guy before we were linked with him?
Yeah, well, I play FIFA a lot.
Oh, there you go, then.
Yeah, and he's pretty OP on FIFA, I'll tell you that.
So that's where the link came from.
That's where the link came from, yes, exactly.
Right.
But, I mean, it's hard. Ghoulam, yeah, he's big, he's strong, he's got, you know, good turn of pace about him. You know, I've seen, like, videos and I've watched, you know, a few naps.
You've got him
games.
In your ultimate team. You know how he moves.
Yeah, got him ultimate team. It's informed card.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense. If anyone's out there, sorry, listening, OP means overpowered. I do remember this from my days of playing FIFA.
OP.
Sorry, carry on. Don't mean to cut you off, Shawnee.
But, yeah, I mean, the whole Moreno and then Ghoulam, I mean, I don't think it's much of a massive upgrade as maybe we might be looking for.
Yeah.
It's hard to see any good left backs that we could have gone for. Well, there was Ricardo Rodriguez, but AC Milan, as shrewd as they are, picked him up. There's the Jonas Hector, but we're too kind of reserved to even try that. Apparently he's out of our league, but
I'm pretty sure he signed a new contract, so that's why he's not
signed a new contract. I do remember that. Yeah, but it's.
If you could have any of them in our team right now, who would it be?
Any of those I've mentioned?
Yeah. Who's your number one?
Rodriguez. Pure free kick, just on the pure free kick ability.
So you want a Fabio Aurelio, but doesn't get injured as much?
yes. I want a Fabio Aurelio repeat against Manchester United. I want one of those.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Striker. There's Mbappé. And I'm going to sing the song again because I don't care. Mbappé. Dap dap boob bap. Skip it a dap dap bap. Anyway, there's Mbappe, there's Aubameyang, there's Lacazette, there is Timo Werner, there's so many. Who would you want as your number? If we could pick one to join our team right now, who would it be?
If we could pick one, it's... I'm not gonna be Aubameyang. I'm not gonna go there. It's too nice. I think he could work, but I mean, with what Klopp kind of does with Firmino particularly, he just doesn't seem to suit that. Mbappe though, like, I just think he's a baller. I love him to death. I reckon he'd be cool. He's just unattainable though.
Would you sing that song if you went to Anfield, and if even if no one else was doing it?
Yes, of course I would.
Yes,
I'd get a monster.
All right, I'm gonna get Mbappe just to hear you sing that song in Anfield. Mbappe, dap da doobap, skibidi dap da. I can never imagine Anfield singing that song, but I'll do it anyway.
Anyway, yes.
All right, Mbappe. And what is the dollar value where you say, hell no, that is too much?
Yeah, it is too much.
I mean, pound value, should we say?
Pound value. I think it gets to a point for Mbappe particularly, probably up in the 80. I don't...
80? The starting price is 100, dude.
I know. Like, I don't think that's even... Yeah, okay. I don't think 100 quid is his value.
All right.
He's good. He's young. But, you know, a lot of young players have a lot of talk about them.
Yeah.
And Mbappe has proved himself well at Monaco, and he has done well with France here and there, but I don't see a 100 million valuation for him.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Central midfielder, we've only really got Naby Keita, who everyone's talking about. Is there anybody else you would like to have? Yeah, there's Ox as well.
There's Oxlade-Chamberlain, of course, yeah. He's done well for Arsenal, you know, here and there, playing for in the midfield, but... I mean, you could bring back Kovacic. I think I put a tweet out, like, I got no likes or anything, but it was like,
Mateo Kovacic.
Remember we had that massive long saga. It was
at Barcelona, right?
He's at Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Because I've always pronounced it differently. I think I've pronounced it Kovacic or something like
Kovacic,
that.
Kovacic, yeah.
We're
not from Croatia, so...
No, exactly. We'll leave that one up to Lovren to tell us what it's really...
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so you think we should go for him if we...
I wouldn't say go for him. I was just saying it might be a joke. But for real, like an actual proper midfielder, I think Oxley would do fine. I mean, I think we got kind of that, you know, shielding the defense with Emre Can and Henderson. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
We've got Lallana, we've got Gini, we've got Coutinho. I think another type like Oxley could work well in there.
Mm.
I mean, but you can't, it would have to be done well. You'd have to probably compensate with like maybe an Emre Can kind of type when you play with like Oxley, because you can't have like all these forward looking players.
Yeah.
Exactly to go forward. Maybe Henderson's more the defensive type out of Emre Can and that, but it's hard. There's so many midfielders out there. You can't really put your hand on one because they've all got their vices and it's all how it fits into the team. And
I'll ask you one final question about the squad before we round off. Lucas Leiva, keep or let him go?
Keep him. Just keep him. He's just a good lad. Just chuck him on. I don't know. Give him like whatever he wants as a base salary. Just keep him around for like when we lift the league next year.
Nice. We'll give him like the tea ladies' wages.
At least give him a testimonial. The guy deserves a testimonial.
Yeah.
I don't know where that hasn't happened or why that hasn't happened, but yeah.
That's cool. All right. Do you have any final thoughts you want to shout out, or any people in particular, maybe your college mates or anything you want to shout out on the pod and get them to listen to this?
College mates don't even like football, so you're not going to get any luck there.
They're in Vegas, of course. They're all about AFL.
AFL and bloody, State of Origin. Yeah. For anyone overseas, State of Origin is just, big guys run each other, pretend
no
they're
necks,
from
different
states. Yeah, that one.
When they've lost enough IQ points, they become commentators.
Yeah, so. Run enough bloody brick walls.
Nice.
No final thoughts. I reckon I've had a good time.
Nice.
Thank you for hosting me.
No, I appreciate having you on. I know you only had to remind me about four times before I went, oh, yep. Yeah, that's the one. So
But it's all good. No, I appreciate it. Enjoy my time. No, it's fun.
Great having you on. So tomorrow night I should be having the coach, Pete Kofinas, is coming over to my place to have a chat in person. So if you're wondering, there will be another podcast tomorrow night, which I will, well, I guess it'll be, you know, a couple of days, whatever it is, the time zone it is in the UK. It's like, if I release it tomorrow, it comes out last week in the UK somehow. So, you know, we are from the future. So that's happening tomorrow night. We've got another big pod that's happening next week that Rich is going to be posting. So look out for that. Something special is going on. We're not going to even advertise what it is. We're just going to release it like LFC should be doing. It's going to be exciting. So look out for that. And maybe a bro pod as well with the likes of Nads and big time Maddie Line and the bros getting together and having a good old bro pod like we used to do. So, Shawnee, one last time, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
And I appreciate it.
It's been great having you. And everybody out there listening, have a very good day and night. Goodbye. Lovely cushion header. Pajero!